The story of the temptation is the story for this first week of Lent, is in a strange order in relation to other stories from Luke. We've just this previous week had the story of the Transfiguration that happens much later in Jesus' ministry, and we've already had the story of the call of the disciples. Jesus' temptation comes before each of those in the story of Luke. So the story logic is all screwed up here. And I think it'd be good to acknowledge that, that this is a story that comes before. And the reason is that this is a story that is traditionally associated with Lent and with temptation and testing and Lenten disciplines. Not eating for 40 days was Jesus' test for people who undertake Lenten discipline. Sometimes it's not eating meat or giving up something that is of importance to them for the 40 days of Lent. Mark's version of the temptation of Jesus is very brief. That Jesus was driven out into the wilderness and was there for 40 days tested by Satan, and that he was with the wild beasts. Both Matthew and Luke have these longer stories of the temptation. And the key word in these stories is the Greek word peirazō, which means to tempt and to test. And that word occurs in several places in the gospel tradition, including the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into the time of temptation, but that also means the time of testing. And this story is supremely the story of being tested by Satan. The source of Jesus' power to resist the temptations is directly related to the telling the scriptures by heart. It is Jesus' knowledge of the scriptures. And in this time of supreme testing, it is what Jesus knows by heart from Deuteronomy that is his greatest source of strength in resisting temptations, passing the test. And the most striking thing about Jesus in this is his strength, which comes from his mastery of scripture. In the telling of this story, the most difficult character is that of Satan. What kind of voice to give Satan will be your first major decision as the teller of this story? Is he seductive, like a snake, and oily, like a used car salesman, a divine figure with a sense of authority, but somewhat off? I would definitely suggest that you create a contrast between Satan's voice and Jesus' voice so that there is a discernible difference between the style of their speech. And in all probability, you know, Jesus' voice is straight, clear, strong. Satan's voice is full of possibilities. And it might be that that's something like a certain breathless quality to his promises of all the things that are possible if you but follow me. Might be a way of approaching Satan's voice. The dynamic of the story is analogous to and reminiscent of the experience of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus is in the desert for 40 days. It is not coincidental that the number 40 is used here because it does evoke that wilderness experience of Israel. And in the wilderness, Israel and Jesus are tempted to rebel against God and to decide to no longer believe in or trust God. In Luke, this is an apocalyptic battle with the powers of evil. So the personification of the powers of evil in Satan is a sign of this battle against the forces of sin and death in the world. The first temptation is the temptation to turn stone into bread. It comes after 40 days of fasting, and Jesus is very hungry. This too is reminiscent of the experience of Moses and the people in the wilderness. They didn't have enough to eat. They'd run out of bread. And so God sent them manna from heaven, bread from heaven. In this case, Jesus doesn't get any bread, but rather responds with the quotation from Deuteronomy 8:3, man, that is human beings, shall not live by bread alone. The second temptation is the temptation of power. Satan shows him all the kingdoms of the world and offers them to him, that is to Jesus, if he will only worship him. This temptation of power is stated in the story in a strange way. That is that Satan says that all these kingdoms have been given to me and I can do with them whatever I want, which is strange on the one hand. On the other hand, it does reflect the tradition that God has not determined the course of history and that it is fully possible for people to choose to follow Satan, and that Satan effectively has control of this world and of the great cities of the world. Jesus' response is again a quotation from Deuteronomy. It is a statement that one is only to worship God. So Jesus rejects the temptation to worship the devil and to go for power. In the third temptation, Satan has learned about the power of quotation of scripture from memory, and he quotes Psalm 91 twice about how God would protect him if he threw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the pinnacle of the temple was the top of the roof of the temple, which over the temple enclosure, it was the great wall around the temple, it wasn't the actual temple itself, that overlooked the Kidron Valley. And at that point, there is major cliff. And so from the top of the wall of the temple to the Kidron Valley down below is a long fall. Probable that when James was executed, that they threw him off of that place and, from the temple. It would be like, you know, the Sears Tower or the Empire State Building or something now. The temptation here is the temptation to use the power of God to do miracles that would be in his own self-interest and to, in effect, put God to the test of whether or not the line from Deuteronomy that Jesus remembers is, don't put the Lord your God to the test. And the word that is used there is another form of the word peirazo. It's ekpeirazo, to test or to tempt. And so the admonition from Deuteronomy is that just as we pray that the Lord will not put us to the test, so also we are not to put God to the test. So Jesus says that later to the disciples when they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. I pray that you may not enter into the test, the time of testing. And that is one of the central prayers in the Lord's Prayer. Do not lead us into temptation, which also means the time of testing. So this story is a story of a contest between Satan and Jesus. This spiritual contest, the reality of this battle between the powers of good and evil that happens in each person is then the one of the primary areas of attention that Lent invites us to pay attention to, and the choices that we make on a daily basis. And prayer is that we may not be tested in the way that Jesus was. In this case, Jesus passes the test. And the end of the story identifies Satan's decision to withdraw until a more opportune time. In the story, that more opportune time comes in Gethsemane. And this story is then an anticipation of what will follow later.